Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It is Tuesday, November 19th, 2013, just after 3 UTC as we're recording. I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bo is here yet again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello, I'm here, and I've been consistently here lately.
I know, it's been a long time since either I've had to do a solo show or have had a guest host. It's been like a while now.
We've moved the schedule around now that I think we found a groove back into our schedule. There's a couple of reasons. Number one is because I changed jobs into this other job where I can work substantially. Either I'm traveling or I'm working from home a lot when I'm not traveling. It just makes it kind of like work out. My son has been sleeping on a good schedule. He's been getting to sleep on a timely manner and having good sleep and basically just laughing and smiling and enjoying himself. I don't know if you've seen my pictures either on some social media of like some of them. I got to start using TwitPics for some of these. I keep forgetting that I can.
So that you can get to your massive 12 Twitter followers.
No, I'm up to 13.
I thought you were back down again.
Nope, I just gained a follower today.
Ah, well, there you go. Well, congratulations, back to 13.
Thank you. Okay, so yeah, but of course I do, you know, cross post like tweets to other stuff, so it's not, I'm not just counting on Twitter, but you know, so but anyway, but yeah, you know, I was just, you know, so Sam is going through the list of topics, which we could just go in a little bit. It was just, you know, we've got I have been like all over the place, and I really could like it's been like a little bit crazy today, but everybody's asleep. Kitchen construction is not going on too much right now. It's almost done, although I'm hoping to be done soon. Almost 90% done. The place is quiet.
There
my wife
go.
Is watching TV and drinking her tea, you know.
There you go. Well, you know, and so we had so Yvonne relied on me to do the list, and we picked a small number. Like I'll just run through the things. You know, Zimmerman's in trouble, the guy who killed Trayvon Martin, again. Like, and you have to say again, because this is like the third or fourth time.
Yeah,
because it's like
a third. Yeah.
You know, and, but we're not going to talk about that, because really, what is there to say? I mean, anyway.
He's in trouble.
He's in trouble. The guy appears to be validating that he probably was, you know, he's just a violent dick, okay? That
it all comes right. down to. Or I don't know. You know, I also, you know, look, I think that may be right, but the other different answer that I had that could be is that now that he became some kind of like a famous folk hero or something.
Everybody's
or
paying more attention.
It's fine. Yeah, no. I just think that maybe he's more, he thinks he's like, some people like, you know, they just, because they're famous or something, that they act like they're having impunity.
He keeps, you know, he pulling guns on his exes and his girlfriends and his father-in-law. And
yeah, the guy's dick. Anyway.
So, right. Enough right. about right. him. We've got the Obamacare update. We are going to talk about Obamacare. There have been developments there.
Yep.
We had Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto, who's just continuing in his, like, downward spiral of comedic chaos, which does not really much to say about it. The guy, you know.
The guy's a whack job.
And he's not resigning, but the Toronto City Council basically stripped him of all his powers over the last couple of days. So he's mayor in name only, but he gets to keep the title of mayor because apparently Toronto has no mechanisms to remove a mayor.
But how can they take all the, well, anyway, that's one thing. You can take away, like, all his power. It's like, this kind of reminds me of old like, you know, Seinfeld episode where Costanza decided to try to keep going back to work even though they had locked him out of his office. They'd done everything. I mean, they'd done everything possible. But he kept, I think he kept holding himself up in the bathroom in order to collect his paychecks or something. I mean, this is kind of like what this mayor's doing.
Essentially, you know? I mean, he still has a platform to talk, I guess. I mean, they've removed his budget. They've given all of his power to the deputy mayor. They've basically said that anything they could take away from him, they have. And there are a few things they can't. And apparently there's no mechanism in place to remove mayors. But I'm sure they'll work on that. You know, I don't know, whatever. But anyway, you know, not a, you just can't believe the quotes coming out of this guy. And
this guy is the quote machine. Yeah,
yes, I did do crack, but it's okay because I was on one of my drunken binges at the time. And then apparently, you know, there were other comments he made about some woman he was supposedly sexually harassing. And then apparently today there was at a city council meeting, he barged in and knocked over people on the way in. Whatever, you know, you can't.
How did this guy get voted in, for God's sakes, is what I keep wondering.
Whatever, I don't know.
The guy's a train wreck.
There's no serious issues here. It's just comedic value. So, whatever. I just wanted to thank. We talked in the last week's show about. I mentioned sort of offhandedly and other stuff that I was moving more and more into the direction of pacifism, and there was some back and forth between me and my listener Bruce, BYU fan on Twitter. And, you know, I don't have much more to say than I said in the Twitter exchange, so go look for that if you're interested. And then there's also this whole thing
with... What did you say? War! No, you didn't say for... Okay, all right.
War.
No.
Although the most interesting thing is, you know, in recapping, I sent for... you know, he mentioned, you know, he started out the conversation with basically saying... where was it? Let me have this. I'm confused. Last week you wanted to start a nuclear war to depopulate the planet. Now you're a pacifist?
Well, that's standard operating procedure for Sam. I mean, first of all, you were not really trying to... No, you were not depopulating the planet. Let's correct this. You were going to launch targeted nukes at certain areas to create nuclear winter. In order to save the planet.
Yeah, but I also mentioned how population reduction would also help. So
it would help, but you weren't doing it in an aggressive fashion. You were doing it to save the planet.
Yeah, exactly. I actually responded, or I intended to respond, with, to be fair, I only wanted to nuke uninhabited areas.
Yes, you did mention you only wanted to nuke uninhabited areas in our discussion. You said Antarctica or South Pacific.
Yeah, but what I actually tweeted was, to be fair, I only wanted to nuke uninhibited areas.
Well, that's kind of my tweet.
Which is, of course, entirely different.
Well, you know, that goes along with, I guess we're not very good at tweeting, because my tweet, which was, you know, there was this tweet that I did about an announcement that Google did with this Motorola G new phone that they launched, which I meant to say another shot across Samsung's bow, and I didn't type shot, I typed shit across Samsung's bow, and I published it everywhere.
Yeah.
That's just not very good.
Anyway, the only other thing that was on our list, do you want to save Bitcoin for a real topic, or do you want to do it as part of this potpourri at the beginning?
No. We saved it as a topic. But, you know, so Sam goes and talks about, I was looking at the pricing as well, but I hadn't like kept as much track as Sam did of the Bitcoin thing. So I go and I go into a link that talks about it a little bit. Okay, all right. Of something that happened this afternoon. I found it very interesting that on the side of the page where they had this the whole thing about the Bitcoin pricing, there was a watch and learn video on the right that says, "Here is what it takes to work at Hooters." I just thought that the subjects really meshed very well.
Okay.
So I don't know. I think I'm gonna watch that video to figure out what it takes to work at Hooters. I really have no idea. And then the other ad below it. This is in a Business Insider magazine, by the way. All right. So I don't know what the hell. The other one they have below is how they make lingerie models look so good. I'm like, really?
Anyway,
other information that we all need to know on a daily basis.
So our three real topics are going to be Obamacare, The J.P. Morgan Twitter debacle, which I didn't mention earlier when I was going through the list.
Yeah, forgot about that. Yep.
And then Bitcoin again, because we haven't talked about Bitcoin. And I imagine most of you will probably spend the most time on Obamacare. But every time I make a prediction like that, I'm wildly off.
Yeah, we're very off.
You know, last week's show, before we started recording, I said, okay, let's try to keep it to 4 15-minute segments this time. The first segment was like 40 minutes.
We've never done this. We keep talking about this thing about the 15-minute segments. I think we did that like 6 or 7 years ago.
We did that for a little while.
Yeah, and then we just went off the rails entirely. And then just, you know, whatever.
Anyway, you know? Let's take a break, and we'll be back, and we'll start off with Obamacare and the continuing debacle that is Obamacare. We'll be back after this. Okay, we're back. So the main thing that happened in the last week is basically we talked last week about the promise that, you know, nobody will lose their plan and how that clearly was not the case. And Obama had to have known it. And we talked a little bit about, you know, how his wording had changed a little bit. But bottom line, he promised something. He promised it very clearly, and it was not true. And the political fallout from that increased over this week.
Let
me summarize first. The fallout from that continued to escalate. There were congressional efforts to start changing the law to address this quote-unquote problem. And not just the Republicans, but also the Democrats were starting to defect and saying we needed to do something and put laws in place. And they basically told Obama, if you don't get out in front of this and do something, we will. And then Obama held a press conference where, you know, he announced a slight change that basically said that, you know, insurance companies could keep the plans that didn't meet the requirements for another year.
But this is what I don't understand. They already could have, as far as I can tell. If the plans existed before a certain date, they could have been grandfathered, and the insurance companies chose not to keep
certain
them.
Certain plans were grandfathered, certain other ones weren't, but in the end, the problem is the insurance companies
didn't want to keep them.
Right, and what Obama's done is not mandate that those come back. There were proposals in Congress going along to actually mandate that those plans be continued in force for a certain amount of time. That is not what's happening right now. It's you have the option, and a lot of insurance companies have been, you know, in the fallout after this, have been, and state insurance commissioners for that matter, have basically been like, "What the fuck? This is right. This already happened. It's too late."
It's too late. Here's the problem.
We already canceled these plans. They haven't re-registered the plans for the next year. So, like, and in order for this to work, it all has to happen in the next couple weeks. And there's just not time to, like, put these things back. We've already sent out the notices. They've already been canceled. They've already not these plans don't exist anymore right now. The insurance companies got rid of them. They'd have to bring them back. And sort of fast track them through an approval process to get them back in place. So, like, to a large extent, this is a fig leaf. This is Obama saying something where there, you know, very few plans are actually going to get reinstated because of this, because the insurance companies have already moved on. The state regulators have already moved on.
The
question is, does it remove some of the political heat? But also, apparently,
I don't think it does.
And I did not watch his conference, but I saw all kinds of reactions on the net about just how bad it was and how he didn't actually do the things he needed to do to, like, you know, actually make people feel better about anything. I don't know. I didn't watch it myself. I saw it.
Listen, he said a whole bunch of stuff. He made a big mea culpa about him not being clear. I didn't think it was bad, but what is bad is the fact, like you just mentioned, you're trying to fuck it on. Listen, Humpty Dumpty's already broken, man. You can't put this thing back together the way it was.
Well, and quite a few people have also, by the way, pointed out that not having these plans eligible to continue is actually, you know, in order for it to work, it's kind of a key feature. You have to bump these people off.
You have to kill those plans.
You have to kill those plans for it to work. And if you actually provided these exemptions and let these people continue, you're actually allowing the possibility of more of the younger, healthy people opting for these cheap plans that don't provide any real coverage, which means that they won't opt into the other plans that provide real coverage, and therefore it changes the actuarial balance of all of these other plans, which will probably result in those prices going up. Because in order for these new plans to work, they rely on the fact that young, healthy individuals are going to have to sign up.
Right.
And if you take that away, it undermines key elements of this.
This is all here. You know what? This is all a product of the whole clusterfuck with people not being able to sign up. I mean, this is the reality, because a lot of people would have been.
They would have seen their plan cancellation. They would have gone to the website and they would have been like, signed up. There's a new one here. That's not bad. This is good.
And that's it. Right. And that's all that would have happened.
And even then, absolutely, there would have been some people paying more. I mean, you can't have something without some people. But the reality is, in a lot of those cases,
the problem with the people that were winding up paying more, and this is something that everybody keeps glossing over, were these plans that, honestly, in my opinion, were a fraud. A lot of these plans offered really no coverage, okay? I mean, they gave the semblance to people that they had coverage, but the moment that they actually used it, they realized, shit, I'm on the hook for $30,000. What the hell coverage should I get with this damn thing? I've been paying premiums and I'm getting nothing. And so what really irritates me is just, like I was telling to somebody the other day who was arguing with me on Facebook regarding this whole thing, listen, let me tell you something. I'm like, I think this rollout is a fucking disaster. I'm not defending the president. He fucked up, okay? But the one thing is, they're trying to, you know, you got a whole bunch of people that are playing football with this trying to tell me that trying to get more Americans covered with affordable health care is a bad idea. And I'm like, no, this is the problem. So you're against that? I'm like, because I've seen people say that, and I'm like, you know, okay, you think that, well, that's great. Good for you, but I think that I'm angry at the implementation. I don't have a problem with the concept, okay? And as a matter of fact, the worst thing is that tell everybody this isn't even what anybody wanted in the first place. This is like all a fucking watered down massive compromise in the first place that now everybody isn't happy with either. And oh, by the way, the Republicans haven't proposed any meaningful way to change it. Now they're fucking putting shit through Congress, like, to do this bullshit with the health plans and all this shit. But then they had passed repeal, 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 repeal. They knew it wouldn't go. Now they're passing an amendment? Yeah. This is everybody, and well, everybody's just playing political football, and I'm making like castles in the sky once in a while. Why I think that a couple of people will sit down to have some meaningful dialogue, and that's not gonna fucking happen. So we are where we are.
Well, yeah, and look, here's what a number of people have said, and I'm not by any means original on this, but a lot of people, especially on the left, have said, look, you know, I believe someone called it a gut check moment. Look, you've set something up. If you just power through, and yes, there are all kinds of difficulties right now. There are all kinds of problems. There are all kinds of things going on here. But, you know, eventually you figure the website's going to be fixed. Eventually you fix they're going to streamline the sign-up process. They're going to get rid of the kinks, you know, and then the benefits of this will start to kick in for the people it matters to. And also, by the way, the handful of people who get screwed, and I shouldn't say handful, it's a few million, the few million people who get...
But there's also a lot of people that are getting benefited as well.
No, I know. I said the handful of people who get quote-unquote screwed.
Quote-unquote screwed, by the way, because it's not, you know...
Because they're forced to buy better health coverage, which will cost them more out of pocket in short term, but probably is beneficial in the long run. But those people will forget about it in a year or two, or lots of them will. And the much larger numbers that'll benefit will start feeling good about it. And so, like, you know, if you fast forward another 2.5-3 years in the future, you know, people will feel very different about this, and the initial rollout stuff will sort of fade from people's consciousness. Now, of course, you know, Republicans will try to remind people about that in the 2016 election, no doubt. But, you know, those kinds of things tend to fade over time. But if, on the other hand, you get scared by the current politics of people saying, you know, it's a disaster, it's a disaster, it's a disaster, we got to fix it, we got to fix it, we got to fix it, and start making radical changes that actually undermine things, that, Alex, don't move that, then you potentially destroy it from the inside, where you say, you know, okay, we'll allow all these exemptions. Alex, what's up? You allow all these exemptions that make it so that the young people don't have to sign up, which undermines the pricing. And then the whole thing starts to fall apart, because that's the, you need that actuarial situation in order to move forward. So
yes, you do.
Talk for a second, Yvonne. I'm taking Alex back. I'll get it. Here you go. Here you go. Is this all you want?
Okay. Sam, of course, is trying to, like, deal with his home situation with, you know, Alex, like, jumping all over the place. Since this is the second time this evening it's happened. But
the first time before we started recording the show.
Right. Yeah. I'm you know, look, it's just... Listen, I think that... more people are being benefited than there are people being hurt. You know, a lot of people that are being benefited don't even, like, show up in the numbers, okay? Because or people that talk about it. Because one of the things that was the biggest change was allowing children up to 26 years of age to remain on their parents' health plans.
Yeah, and that actually kicked in a while ago.
That actually kicked in a while ago, okay, and that's something that is massive for a lot of people that are in their early 20s that never had insurance coverage before. Especially now that the economy has been bad, a lot of people have not been.
I remember when I was right out of college, I had a gap when, you know, I wasn't covered by my parents anymore, and I did not yet have a job that provided health insurance. There was a significant chunk of time that I was uninsured, and I didn't think about it all that much. I'm like, you know, I don't have any issues right now. But I mean, I did during that time period rely, you know, I have asthma and allergies and those kinds of things. I relied exclusively on over-the-counter stuff, where I would have been much better off if I'd just been on a couple of prescriptions. And I'm just like, I guess I can't see a doctor right now, so I'll just make do.
And luckily, for example, your kidney stones didn't act up or anything like that, which is something that had happened before. And if you had had
that happened after I was fully employed, but yeah.
But right. But if it happened, like, in that gap, yeah. I mean, you would have been into, I mean, that would have been a serious situation for you, and it would have had no coverage for it.
It would have been, yeah.
And so I think that that's one of the things that people completely miss out, that was one of the key elements that happened under it. And everybody – and, you know, one of the things that I was concerned that a lot of people were relying, well, we need a lot of these younger people healthy to sign up for Obamacare. Here's a problem. A lot of these people – we've got one of the highest rates of unemployment for people between 16 to 24 that we've had in a very long time. And a lot of those people have probably gotten, like, if they've got jobs, they're underemployed. So therefore, they're still remaining in a lot of their parents' plans, which they could not have done before, okay, because there just weren't the options. And now you've got that situation. So a lot of those people, I think they probably overestimated how many people under 26 were going to sign up. Because I think a lot of those people, like, definitely because of the economy and the job situation, they're probably going to remain under parents' plans, which is one of the key benefits that people had. But people right now, I guess they don't think about it because it's something that is just kind of like transparent. Because it just happens under the, you know, you just don't get bumped off anymore when you reach a certain age. Boom, that's it. And I don't know. I think that's a big thing. The whole thing with pre-existing conditions, I've seen, you know, quite a lot of people suffer with, like, for example, like getting ill, losing their job, trying to get a new coverage and not being able to because they've been suffering from illness. And that's something that that friends of mine have been affected by. Hell, the worst one, I remember I had a friend of mine whose wife had cancer, okay, who lost his job. And I know that, for example, when he went to check the COBRA payments that were for a family of four like his, it was $3,000 a month for him to continue his health insurance after he lost his job. And I know that in the marketplace, you can get coverage like right now for a person like that for slightly less than $1,000 for coverage without having to worry about getting, like, you know, the issue with pre-existing conditions. I mean, that's those things are huge. And a lot of this obviously is getting messed up in the noise of this ridiculously screwed up rollout that was done by the administration, which has no excuse whatsoever because they had plenty of time to prepare for it. And the fact is that they had zero excuses for what happened. No. Absolutely none.
Well, and this points back to, you know, where we talked about the initial distraction of the Republicans on the whole budget thing and government shutdown and everything else. And for that matter, I would actually go back further. Like, you know, all of this time, the Republicans, their line has been Obamacare is awful. Like, if they really and truly believed that, the right thing to do is let it take effect. Let everybody see how awful it is. And then you'll win the next election and actually be able to repeal it. But and you know, I to some degree poo-pooed that and felt like Republicans didn't even believe that themselves, because otherwise, you know, they wouldn't be. I don't know. I guess you can say you don't want to let the damage even start. But it was clear Republicans believed that, just like every other social program out there, once it got in place, people would want to keep it. But
if you told people, well, now you've got a prefix of condition, you're not going to get health coverage. Well, you know, your children under 26. Yeah, forget it. You're going to lose your coverage. Like, so, but yeah, right. Yeah. Let's start canceling policies.
You know, at least on the couple months, and I believe it's right, it wouldn't have been a long-term strategy, but at least for the first couple months of this thing, the best thing the Republicans could possibly have done is just let the thing happen and let it implode.
Sure.
You know, and you know, the typical advice of, you know, if your opponent is imploding, get out of the way. Just let
That's
it happen.
Right.
You know? And, you know, the Democrats have certainly been imploding on this. They were the goddamn Democrats were infighting on this and second-guessing themselves and looking to change things themselves. And, you know, they're trying to run away from this, you know. And you know, this is exactly like, you know, the best thing the Republicans could be doing right now is just backing off and letting it happen in the short term. But like I said, in the long term, what's going to happen
is the website's going to get fixed. People are going to sign up. Everybody's going to realize, oh my God, it's not the end of the world.
You mentioned more people will benefit than will be harmed. But actually, even more significant is a majority of people won't be affected at all, one way or the other.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's like I said, look, the other day when I looked at my coverage, if I wanted to keep coverage that was basically paying the same and like not doing anything, I could have done nothing. And I would have gotten slightly better coverage, and my premium would have not changed very much. If I would have just chosen to do absolutely nothing. And so a lot of people are going to realize, what the hell is the big fucking fuck up about?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, obviously there's significant philosophical differences in terms of, is this the kind of stuff government should be doing? Is this, you know, the whole philosophical.
But my whole thing if all those people think that government mandating insurance is so bad, then why aren't they all also going to frickin' a Capitol and protesting why the hell we're forced to carry car insurance? That's all I'm saying. Why aren't all those people, 50 United States, mandate people to own a car to carry car insurance? Why the hell aren't they over there also like going up open arms about carrying auto insurance.
I'll tell you the honest answer to that is probably because they feel that battle is already lost. There were that kind of protests back in the day before those requirements went into effect. I mean, people did not like that when government first started mandating car insurance.
But
I mean,
now
it's just it's so many
like
decades ago.
Demand a rollback of it? No. Right. Well, you know why? Do you know why?
Why, Yvonne?
Because you know what? Because I've been through the experience myself when I got hit by a fucking asshole that had no insurance. Okay? All right? And you know what? When you get $5,000 worth of damage on your fucking car by some asshole who had zero insurance, okay? By the way, didn't even have, wait, worse. Didn't have a driver's license and didn't have insurance. Okay? And I'm like, no. That's fucking bullshit. Okay?
Right. My point was just that you can have all sorts of philosophical discussions about the proper role of government, but when it comes down to the politics of it, what's going to matter is people's personal experiences and does it help or benefit them personally, or does it have no effect whatsoever? And this and this is the kind of thing where people are going to perceive this as, you know, oh, that's all? You know,
yeah.
And you know, yeah, there will be some people harmed, but it's a minority. And then there'll be, you know, people who really are concentrated on the ideology of this thing, and that's also a minority. The majority of people will either be benefited by this or have no effect whatsoever.
I did the math. I will if I go through the same if I have the same healthcare needs next or approximate next year to this year, I will out of pocket. Even though I paid higher premiums, okay, my total out-of-pocket premiums plus deductibles and copays and stuff like that would be down about $200 a month. That's my net effect of Obamacare. So I keep getting people trying to tell me how we're completely screwed, and I'm like, you know what? And you know what the main reason is? The reason is because I had more choices for insurance companies to go, and I had the choice of going to because before there were very few choices that you had in like the you know from your company. I was in a private corporate marketplace. I was able to shop through different companies, and instead of United Healthcare, which was my company used to have, I was able to choose Aetna. Okay, and for the same coverage, Aetna charged $5,000 a year less. Okay,
right.
For premiums. So, I don't know about you, but that to me sounds like a fucking free market solution if you ask me.
Well, I'll be very interested to see what my choices are the next time around here. Like, we had coverage under Aetna. My employer actually swapped out Aetna for Premera last year. And we liked Aetna better. Premera just, you know, I don't know. Not big differences, but it's been more of a pain in the ass, and we've had to pay a little bit more out of pocket. You know,
okay.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if I have more choices next time around or what. But
did your employer not choose to go into one of those private marketplaces? I take it.
I have no fucking clue.
Oh, you didn't look at it, of course. Anyway, all right.
You know, and this is one of the things. Apparently, Obamacare, like one of the things is this next time around, things won't automatically roll over. You sort of have to make a choice.
You were supposed to actually have to make a choice. I was supposed to actually have to make a choice. It would not roll over. The plans that you had before, the plan that I had did not exist anymore. Now, what they
yeah,
do
so
with
I
my
don't
company,
know. I have to look.
They defaulted me to a different plan
okay.
In case I didn't make a choice.
Okay.
Okay? But the reality is that I was sent an email. Now, when I went in, it said that. But actually, no, I had to actively, even though I went into the site and it already defaulted me to a plan, I had to go through it and click, yes, I accept this, okay? If you chose nothing, I can't remember what the hell happened. I think you wound up without coverage. And
well,
by the way, the deadline,
I
know the deadline
that,
for my company, you still have days, by the way. My deadline for my company is the 22nd of this month.
Of this month? Like 2 days
yes.
From now?
Yeah, four.
Four. I don't know. I haven't seen anything, but then again, I'm so swamped by email at work. Like,
well, you better look at it, you dumb dork, unless you want to be without freaking insurance.
Okay, I'm making my note. I'm sending myself an email to me at work to go check on this, just to see what's up.
Okay, I would suggest you do.
Yeah, yeah, because I certainly don't want to suddenly be without health coverage.
Because my email that I've got, the one that was sent to me, and I don't, you know, I can't. It said what I just told you. It said if you don't make a choice, you will not have any coverage next year. Period.
Yeah, that would suck. So yeah, I better look at that. Of course, my company may have different deadlines and blah blah blah. But
no, totally. But just, you know what? Just be on the safe side.
Yeah, just watch. I've already missed it.
Right.
Yeah, you know, but they should send like something and well,
they
you know,
do. My HR people kept sending emails all the damn time.
Here's the thing. Like I said, like I'm so swamped by email. If it like just comes into my mailbox, I'll never see it. Of course, they usually send physical mail too, but of course into piles here we never look at either. So.
God, for God's sakes! What are they supposed to do? What, send like God with thunder and lightning? Look at your insurance, my son. Is that what you need?
Something like that. I need them.
A dramatic
to, like,
act.
I need like them to pull me into a room. And
actually, I bet you they had sessions because my company had sessions.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing anything like that, but maybe. I don't know.
I'm sure they sent an email about
it. And you know, they had a couple of weeks ago, they had the flu shots. And, you know, I was going to get one. But, like, you know, every time I went, there was a line. So I'm like, screw that. So I haven't got my flu shot yet. I almost always get my flu shot at work, but, like, I haven't. Because there was a line. And I was like, there's a line. I've got other things to do. So I kept, you know. And every other time, I've eventually come when there's been like only one or two people there, and I've gotten it then. But this time, no matter when I came, like I tried five or six times over the course of the day, there was always like a big line. And I'm like, yeah, no. Anyway. But I want my flu shot because, you know. I know some people are like, flu shots, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm in an at-risk group, and I have it every year, and I still get sick, but I'm sure I'd get even sicker without it. So, anyway. Anyway.
All right. Yeah.
How did we do in our 15 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Great. We did brilliant. 26
minutes so
genius.
Far. So, yeah, we did great at 15 minutes. Let's take a break, and let's talk about the JP Morgan thing. We'll be back after this. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show.
I love how I still keep always hearing your damn frickin' smoke detector all the
time. Oh, is it still beeping?
Yes!
Oh, I didn't know.
I know you don't!
Well, everybody, we're back with that note.
And, Yvonne, of course, I keep hearing, you know, in the background, frickin' Sam's smoke detector, you know, if you get into a damn fire that you guys don't wake up, you know, because of that fucking thing not working, I'm going to really be pissed. And, of course, I won't be able to do anything about it because you'll be dead.
So we tested that the other day, actually, because we had a power outage. And half an hour after the power went out, all the smoke detectors in the house went off.
That but lovely.
Because they're, you know, they flipped to their battery backup or whatever, because I guess they're on
their batteries first. And their batteries were shot.
Yeah, well, they all went to let us know that, you know, we'd been without power for 30 minutes. And it's like, okay. But, yeah, so I guess they work. Because you're also, of course, we had daylight savings time the other week, and we complained about it. But that's one of the things they tell you to always do on daylight savings time is test all your smoke detectors, change the batteries, all that kind of stuff. I don't think we've done that since we moved in.
I don't go and like test my smoke detectors every time. However, every time I hear one beep, I don't let it go more than one day with a beeping.
I'm
pretty anal about that shit. Okay, but anyway, all right. I mean, let's face it, you haven't unpacked still. You've been there how long?
Well, I have boxes that I haven't unpacked, you know, since the 90s.
Exactly my point. Yeah, I mean, I don't have any. I don't have any box from the 90s. I mean, it's all gone. It's all gone. Okay. Anyway, all right.
Okay.
Moving on.
Hey. J.P. Morgan. Now, Yvonne, you said you actually didn't know about this.
No idea. No clue. Okay, all right. So what's going on? What happened?
So here's the basics. And just to pick one random article, there have been dozens written on this, but Rolling Stone had one called "Chase's Twitter Gambit Devolves into All-Time PR Fiasco" by Matt Taibbi. It was posted on November 15th. And this just happened to be one of the first ones that came up in a search for me. I actually haven't read this particular one, because I followed some of it as it was happening. But here's the bottom line of what happened. JP Morgan decided that they were going to have an event where they would have one of their executives take questions. So they asked, you know, what career advice would you ask a leading exec at a global firm? Tweet a question using hashtag AskJPM. On November 14th, a JPM leader takes over at JP Morgan to answer questions. So what happened, basically, you know, to make a long story short, the word came along that JP Morgan was taking questions at JPM. And so people started asking questions. And so, and just randomly looking through the stream, there were over 6,000 responses within the course of a few hours.
Wait a minute, 6,000 questions posted or 6,000?
6,000 questions posted.
Okay. All right.
So, and
that's a fair amount.
Yeah, that's a fair amount. So, and I wish I had a post at some point that had some of the highlights, but you know, I'm just scanning through some of these. Why are you asking if I have $13 billion to loan you? Can I have my house back? How many henchmen did you send to Perrine's house after that CNBC hit? What is the maximum amount of material wealth that a person can accumulate and still be allowed into heaven? And view all tweets. There we go. Let's see. Give me more. Look, the bottom line, I'm struggling to find the really good ones here. Oh, here's one. Are you aware that your reckless, illegal, and in some cases criminal conduct caused the worst financial crash since 1929?
I will defend that JP Morgan Chase wasn't really a
whatever.
A lot of it, but you know, I mean,
the point is not the accuracy of anybody specific thing here. It's that what happened was over the course of 6 hours,
fiasco.
They got destroyed. They got destroyed. So like, here we go. Here's a couple on. How do you decide who to foreclose on, darts or a computer program? Each time another person loses their home to an illegal foreclosure, does a bell ring? If it came out that Jamie Dimon had a propensity for eating Irish children, would you fire him? What if he's still a good earner? Do you have a secret jail in your offices so your executives get at least one chance to see the inside of one? Why do you think it's okay to outright lie, cheat, and steal? Crime, A, totally pays, just look at us. B, boy, I don't know. C, if a market maker does it, it means it's not illegal. Mr. Dimon, which of your abject failures are you proudest of? Etc. And obviously, I found one of the ones that has highlights. This is on BuzzFeed. J.P. Morgan shows exactly how not to use Twitter by Matthew Zaitlin, posted on November 13th. six hours later, J.P. Morgan's Twitter account posted, "Bad idea. The event is canceled. Sorry about that, guys." but anyway, if you go to that BuzzFeed article, this has a whole bunch of like highlighted ones for the first few hours. You know, I have mortgage fraud, market manipulation, credit card abuse, labor rigging, and predatory lending. Am I diversified? Etc. Tons and tons and tons and tons of these. And so it's being held up as like, you know, a perfect example of what not to do. Like if you're a company that is, let's say they've had some PR challenges in the past, you do not just provide an open spigot for all of the people who hate you to vent sarcastically about you.
I'm pretty sure that somebody at Chase PR just thought it was just, you know, they have been trying to improve their
image
with the public. And I just don't think they thought about it as thoroughly as they probably should have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those things sometimes, you know, you plan something and you're like, yeah, didn't really pan out the way we planned.
It was really funny, and like you can just search Twitter for the hashtag, and you know there are highlights in this one article, but it's a little bit harder now because you have to scroll back quite a ways to get back to the things that were on the day it happened. Because after that, you get a lot of people just talking about the PR disaster. But it was just hilarious to watch. As this was going on, I brought up a search screen for the hashtag and was just watching it scroll by. And there were a bunch of lame ones, but about two or three times, every 2 or 3 minutes, there'd be one that was pretty funny. And it's like, that's exactly the attention they wanted. And it reminds me, we didn't spend a lot of time talking to, I think we mentioned vaguely the other day when there was the former head of the NSA or one of the agencies, I'm forgetting now, was on the Amtrak giving an off-the-record interview to several reporters. And meanwhile, the guy in the seat ahead of him was like, oh, listen to this. And he started tweeting off all the stuff the guy was talking about.
And
it was hilarious as well, because he's like, you know, hey, dude behind me is talking off the record and he's busy slamming these guys. And oh yeah, it's him, you know? And it's just, and we said it before, you know, when in the stupid Romney campaign with the whole 47% thing, you cannot assume anywhere that, you know, what you say is not going to blow up.
Yeah, I mean, on a train? I mean, really? I mean, you know,
he was
public?
Sitting in the train in public. It's not like he was in a conference room by himself.
Right.
You know, or in his home. You know, he's in a freaking train with people all around him. What the hell does he expect? And here with J.P. Morgan, you know, you're a company that's, again, you're not the best of friends. A lot of people don't like you. And you just say, hey, ask us questions. What kind of questions do you really think you're going to get?
Oh, well, you know. hey, get to make us laugh. It's pretty damn good.
Exactly. And of course, another person in the end, like, are you going to be able to reduce prices based on how much money you save from firing your social media staff?
Oh, that's genius. There,
anyway, I was paraphrasing that last one because I didn't have it in front of me, but I did.
Well, that's pretty darn good, actually.
Okay, let's take another break. This time, this segment is under 15 minutes.
Wow, we did it!
That's right. We'll be back after this, and we'll talk about Bitcoin for a little bit. After this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, we're back. And see, you know, at the beginning of that last segment, to be honest, I was making Yvonne wait to come back to segment as I was trying to get up good quotes to come in. But then he started talking about my smoke detector, and I'm like, oh, man, we'll just start. And I didn't have it already. So apologies for, like, taking a little while to find the stupid quotes.
Oh, but the tidbits were quite juicy.
They're quite juicy. Anyway, Bitcoin. So
Bitcoin.
The last Bitcoin. We talked about Bitcoin, it was a few months ago. It was getting some attention. The price had just popped from, you know, it had just gone over $100, I think. And it had, it's existed for a number of years, and it sort of chewed along. Today it apparently popped again. I'm looking at the stats on mountgox.com as we talk about this. And in the last 24 hours, the low was 530, the high was 900, and the last price was 780.
It crashed like 30% in the last couple of hours.
Well, it went back down from 900 back down to 780 at the current price as we're recording this.
That is a crook, because I actually, that page I pulled up said 58 minutes ago it had gone under 600.
Well, it is now back to 784. This is a live quote.
Oh, you're looking at the live quote.
Quote that's changing. It's changed several times since we started talking about it. but yeah. Look, now, I tweeted a week or two ago an article about somebody who, like, 3 or 4 years ago had done, like, he was a journalist and had done, like, an article on Bitcoin. And as part of his article, just to see how it was done, he bought $20 worth of Bitcoins. And then he forgot about them until it got back in the news in the last couple months. And then he went back to say, oh, do I still have that $20 worth of Bitcoins? Only to find out it was worth about $3 million now.
Whoa. Are you serious?
Yes.
Damn.
And so he sold a significant chunk of his Bitcoins as soon as he found that out. He kept
You think?
and anyway, he bought himself an apartment in London or something like that. And, you know.
That's nice.
Good for him. You know,
that's very good for him.
You know, here's the thing about bubbles. There are a lot of people who make out really, really well in bubbles.
Damn straight. I totally agree.
It's all about,
you know,
timing. But the problem is,
look at Mark Cuban, for God's sakes. I mean, think about that. He sold broadcast.com for like $3 billion.
Yep.
And that, you know, it's like, I mean, turned to nothing.
And I will once again mention my Mark Cuban story, since I haven't mentioned it in a while here, which is back in the early days of broadcast.com, I was working as a part-time assistant producer at a radio station in Pittsburgh. And one of the things they asked me to do is, you know, look into, you know, well, I actually encouraged them, but then they asked me to look into various options for putting their signal online, because that wasn't all that common back then. And, you know, so I emailed a few people at sites, and, you know, including broadcast.com. And the email response I got was from Mark Cuban himself, because he was running his own tech support at the company at the time.
Okay.
He was answering, you know, if you emailed broadcast.com and said, hey, how do you get online with you guys? He was the one who answered himself, personally.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So somewhere in my email archive, I've got an email from Mark Cuban.
What did he say?
He said something about, like, we have a variety of offerings here, and here's some information. Something like that. I mean, it wasn't like I had an in-depth conversation with the man. But it was just interesting that at that time, he was answering his own damn tech support. And then, like,
That's right. And then 2 years later, he sold it for like $3 billion and made out the biggest freaking profit in the history of mankind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, that's my Mark Cuban story. My brush with greatness, as it were. And I'm like, you know, I should have at the time said, hey, can I come work for you?
Right.
But no.
So let's see.
But anyway,
on the day broadcast the deal was officially closed, Yahoo stock was trading at $163 per share. 6 months later, when Cuban's lockup agreement expired, the price was about the same. This move netted Mark Cuban $2.3 billion in cash, and he sold the whole fucking lot of it, and then the bubble burst. Now that's timing. Love it. Not bad. Anyway, all right.
Oh, so I exaggerated a bit just to on the guy who had the Bitcoins. I exaggerated a bit in my memory. I found the actual article. There was an article in The Guardian dated October 29th, and the actual headline gives you the real numbers. Man buys $27 of Bitcoin, forgets about them, finds they're now worth $886,000.
Still not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal. And this was October 29th. If he'd held on to them until today, it actually would have been worth $3 million.
Damn. Beautiful.
Because, you know, because looking at the chart here, we are, you know, we're clearly in bubble territory. Look, here's the bottom line here. This is being touted as a new currency, a new stable, and this is a replacement for money.
This is not stable, man. I mean, this thing is like all over.
In 1 day, from 500 to 900, down to 600, back up to 800. It's 800 now. It was 700 something when we first started talking about it, okay?
It's dropped below 600 like about an hour ago.
Right. And so, you know, whenever you have something.
I don't want my money tied up. Wait a minute. I have money tied up in things that are volatile. Okay, all right. I don't want all my money tied up in this.
Right. Well, you know, having said that, you know, Yvonne, when we last talked about this on the show, if we'd each bought some Bitcoin, we would have made some serious cash on it in the last couple months.
Listen, hey, you know what? So I also bought a couple of thousand shares of Apple a few years ago, and I made a killing on that. So what? I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, you can't predict this shit, you know? Listen, you know what I'm going to do? My parents apparently are on the screws, and they're going to wind up in Dubai like in about a month from now. They told me there's a gold ATM over there, all right? You get out gold bars. I'm gonna have my mom like pick me up like a whole bunch of gold bars for her to come back.
Look, here's the thing on it. Now, I actually don't have much doubt that Bitcoin will go a bit higher than it is now. It'll probably hit 1,000.
I think it may even hit
1,000 while we're talking about it in the next hour.
I'm sorry, but at some point it's going to crash like a freaking like thermonuclear bomb.
It will crash. Here's the thing. Like, it's going to go up, it's going to go down. It's going to go up, it's going to go down. I don't have the stomach for something that goes from 500 to 1,000 and back in 1 day. I'm sorry.
I neither do I. I gotta agree.
You know, and look, this may have some long-term potential. I don't know. But it's certainly not. Here's the thing. If you're thinking about right now, this is 100% speculation, okay? And if you're into gambling and speculation, and you're going to put a couple hundred dollars in here, hoping that it'll go to 1,000 or 10,000 or whatever.
Talk about fiat currency. Forget about. I mean, this is totally. I mean, this is like, even like beyond fiat. There is no country. There is nothing backing this up other than people's like willingness to hold it.
Well,
period.
I mean, and fundamentally, all money is that kind of delusion. But at the same time, one of the things you want out of a currency? Like, if I was actually going to say, you know, every time I get paid, I'm going to just immediately convert it all to Bitcoin. One thing I want to see before I would even think about doing that is not having it go up and down like this every day.
I don't know, Sam. I mean, that'd be kind of interesting. Can you convince Brandy, like, you want to convert all your money into Bitcoin the day after you get your paychecks? No.
You know, I'll tell you what. You know, I just had
How about 25%? 25%.
I just had stock vest on Friday. We have a significant chunk of change that's in the process of settling right now. I could just throw it all into Bitcoin.
Bitcoin it, baby. I love it.
Bitcoin it all. And, you know, hey, you know, maybe it goes down to $1 and I'm like, oh, crap, now we can't eat. Or, but on the other hand, maybe it goes up. And I'm a billionaire next week.
Wait, you'll be able to eat, okay? You still get your paycheck. I mean, you know, you're talking about. I'm just talking about the stock, but you know, it's like you'll be able to eat.
Mostly.
Yeah. You know, you'll be able to eat.
Unfortunately, we've been in a situation the last couple of years where we do rely on that stock for some normal expenses.
I get that, but you'll be able to eat. Okay,
yeah, we'll be able to eat. Yeah, I'm exaggerating somewhat. We'll be able to eat.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, worst case scenario for us, we're late on a couple bills. Okay,
right.
Yeah. Or you know, we have to cut back on one thing or another, or exactly. we're thinking about getting rid of anyway. You know, so
exactly. Whatever. Come on, you know, none of us, you and I, are not going to be able to not eat. All right. Okay. We may have other issues, but you know, we certainly are not going to be homeless and not eating. Okay, all right, that's for sure.
But there's a lot of people. Maybe I don't get to go out to dinner to expensive restaurants. You know, every week.
You know? Right.
But anyway, the point is, like, I look at this and like, I on the one hand, I'm like, you know, last time we talked about it, maybe I should have put in $100 on it. You know, and I know at least one of our listeners at some point posted on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere that they had bought a Bitcoin. You know, 3 or 4 months ago. And I'm like, maybe it was more than one. I don't know. But good for them. They've done good. Cash out now. You know, I don't know. I honestly wouldn't be shocked if this does go up to 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. But at some point, it's going to collapse. And it's just a question of, do you get out at the right time? And the fundamental thing is, It's supposed to be a currency. Currencies don't behave this way. You don't want a currency to behave this way. You want a currency to be nice and stable and reliable.
It's a store of value. It's supposed to be stable. That's why, you know, they spend so much time trying to drive out inflation. Okay, all right. I mean, you know.
And so what this is instead, this isn't a currency. This is as pure speculation as you can possibly get.
Might as well be tulip bulbs.
I was going to say Vegas, but, you know, same idea. You know, and so I look at this and I'm like, would it probably be worth, like, well, I don't know. Like, again, when it was at 100, I was like, you know, $100, it might be okay. Just get one just to say you have one. If you lose $100, you lose $100. Now it's $800. I feel less like plopping down $800 just to play, you know. Now you can probably buy fractional bitcoins. I don't know. I'm sure you can. But would I throw $10 or $20 into this, or 50 maybe? Sure. Why not?
I see that it almost reached like about $1,000 like a few days ago. Wow. Well. Okay. Well,
It looks like it was over $1,000 for a short time.
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe
we didn't buy any bitcoins.
I didn't buy any bitcoins,
and I'm not planning on buying any bitcoins. I'm not. You know, look, I already, you know, I got my investments where I want to have my investments. I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, and of course you have the whole risk that, of course, all of these things, you know, governments aren't very liking this because of the various ways you can sneak. This is why people are using this to, you know, hire assassins and make drug deals and stuff like that. It's hard to track back, but not impossible, as it was shown when they shut down. What was that site called? Silk Road a few weeks ago. You know, governments are uncomfortable about this, so all you need is, you know, government at some point becoming heavy-handed about these things, And yeah, it's going to be hard to...
Well, we got the NSA. I'm sure they know everything about everybody doing anything with the freaking Bitcoin in the first place.
The thing is, with Bitcoin, people can always transfer them back and forth individually, just like you transfer cash back and forth individually. But it's hard. So that's why you have exchanges like this Mt. Gox place.
But that's my point. We can still trace cash. I mean, you put money. I mean, I know it makes it more difficult if you got it in a suitcase, you know, but it's still... You know, people get traced from it. You know, it's not impossible. The most popular currency for people in a suitcase, though, is like, because the U.S. doesn't make any more $500 bills. It's a €500 note is most popular now for that kind of.
And I don't know. Maybe I'll spend 5 minutes and see if there's an easy way to buy $20 worth of Bitcoin, because that's about my risk tolerance. Like that guy who turned $27 into almost $900,000. You know, cool. I could deal with that.
Okay, but why don't you buy one Bitcoin?
Well, one Bitcoin's $800 now. I'm not going to spend that much on it. Like no. I would spend $20. I think $20. Like, because here's the thing. Like, if the lottery is at like $500 million, I'll buy $20 worth of lottery tickets. This seems like the same kind of thing. If
I brokerage account, I would, but this is too much trouble. I'm not going to do it.
Well, yeah. Open. You know, I'll experiment over the next week. I'll see if there's a I'll see. Or maybe I won't, because I'll get distracted and I won't care. So
now they're going to be all just tracking Bitcoin. There you go. Just be trading Bitcoins. All right. Well, anyway, listen. We beat the Bitcoin to death.
We are closing up now. I just wanted to say, as an update to what we said at the beginning of the show, breaking news in the last few minutes as we're recording this, or actually it was about half an hour ago, Toronto Mayor Rob Ford in an interview says he no longer drinks and has had a come to Jesus moment. Yeah.
Anyway,
thanks for listening, everybody. And you know, we've mentioned donations in the past. We will accept Bitcoin if you want to make a donation in Bitcoin.
That's fine. We'll accept all the Bitcoin.
Send them our way.
Send them our way.
That's our show. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com. I really do need to like make one of those little snippets for this, so I don't have to say it each time. Email me. Yvonne is imbo on Twitter. I'm abelsmay on Twitter, and you know all the other usual social media stuff. Review us online. Tell your friends. All that fun stuff. In the meantime, have a good week, and we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.